Welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge. Ryan is out on the scene in San Marcos, and he is broadcasting and recording there. So he'll be out for just a bit. So this morning we're going to go through our study together of John chapter 18. If you have your Bibles handy, we'll start that in just a bit. Before we do, though, I want to remind you of announcements that are on our bulletin board, things that are going on maybe that you will be able to participate in. There's a gospel meeting that began yesterday at the Emory Church of Christ. They're in Emory, Texas. They're located right there off of Highway 69 at 715 Lennon Drive. And they have Jeff Rollo. Jeff is the preacher for the Love Lady congregation, and he is upholding the meeting going through Wednesday. The Whole Duty of Man. Had the opportunity to go over yesterday evening as he dealt with our potential. And tonight he will be looking at knowledge, then Tuesday night, heart, and Wednesday night, heights. Now, these are going to be beginning at 7 p.m. nightly. But if you want more information, just go to emorychurchofchrist.org or give them a call at 903-473-2658. And then right now, the Focal Point Workshop is going on. It began on the 30th. It'll run through Thursday, the 5th. And that is at the University Congregation in San Marcos, Texas. You can go down there for that fabulous workshop. But if you can't make it down there, you can tune in here. If you notice right there on the TGRN homepage, there is a special box. Be able to listen in to some of the classes that are going to be broadcast live on the network. Just click that link and you'll be able to join them there. But if you want more information, go to univcofc.com. You can download the flyer there for the workshop so that you get a schedule of each class that's going to be taking place for this workshop. And then, ladies, mark your calendars because Saturday, the 7th, the Blossom Congregation will be hosting their Ladies' Day. They're having Becky Blackman come. Her theme is Singing in the Rain. It's going to begin that morning at 8:30 with a registration and breakfast, continental breakfast. They'll also provide lunch that day. So that is at the Blossom Church Christ, located at Highway 82 East there in Blossom. And then immediately at the end of Focal Point, May the 5th, Ryan's going to be traveling down to the Gulf Coast Lectures. 24th Annual Gulf Coast Lectures down in Portland will begin the 5th, and he will be recording that and also will broadcast some of that event live. So be on the lookout for that Portland or Gulf Coast Lectures link. You can click on it, listen in to those as well live. But it kicks off Thursday at 5:30 p.m. with some congregational singing, followed by the theme this year, by the way, is Christian Fellowship. But Michael Light will start it off with What is the Meaning of True Christian Fellowship? And so it will run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it'll be through May the 5th through May the 8th. So those are the things that we have on our bulletin board this morning. Maybe you're aware of something. Let us know about it. Shoot us an email, mornings@tgrn.org, and we'll do our very best to get it out in a timely manner so that folks can know the events that are in your area. So we're going to take just a quick break, and we'll come back in just a moment, and we're going to be in chapter 18 now. This is the event in the garden where Jesus is going to be betrayed by Judas. We'll take the journey from the garden into the courts, and then before Pilate here in chapter 18. So have your notepad and your Bible handy if you can. If not, just listen along while we study. We'll be back in just a moment.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for
good morning and welcome back. Let's start our study off in John chapter 18 now together. We're going to take a look at these first 11 verses, and as we do, we'll have our setting, and the scene is in the garden. And so we'll have the events in the garden during the betrayal. And as we do, we'll break that up a little bit more as we notice the individuals who are brought onto the scene as well, that stand in the forefront of what events are going on. I guess we could say in those first three verses of this garden scene that runs through verse 11, we have Judas there in the forefront as his betrayal takes place. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over to the brook of Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came with lanterns, torches, and weapons. These events that we're looking at, it tells us that after he had spoken these words, basically the words from John chapter 13 through chapter 16, and then his heartfelt prayer in chapter 17. After he had spoken these words, then they've gone out near the brook of Kidron, or the brook which means literally flowing in the winter. So it may have just been a seasonal brook and ran only in the wet season or the winter, but this is where they are, and they've gone into a garden area. But Judas comes to the forefront as well, because now he is implementing the plan that, remember earlier in John chapter 13, he had started in motion. And Judas, having received a detachment of troops, there when we look at this detachment of troops, a band or a cohort of troops, basically 600 men, possibly even more. When you look at the way that a Roman legion was made up, it tells us it was, you know, a tenth part of a legion. But he has received this. They say sometimes the first troop or cohort is could be even larger, so it would be maybe 800 men. But this, you know, is what he has. They have come out after him as if they're going to battle. But it wasn't just those detachment of troops, but he also received officers. Many would say that would be equivalent then to the temple police or the Jewish police officers. And so they've come out, as well as the Pharisees. They've come out here with their torches and their weapons. So we see this betrayal taking place. But then there's also the mob that's there with him. Therefore, Jesus, therefore, knowing, verse number 4, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward, and he said to them, "Who are you seeking?" Now imagine this group that's coming up, and here they are, a large number, and this one walks up to meet them. Walks directly up to him. And then knowing what they had come for, he asked this, "Who are you seeking?" And they answered him and said, "Jesus of Nazareth. And he said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, there's no doubt in anyone's mind now of his betrayal. Yes, he would give the kiss to indicate that, but now he's even stood with the mob. He's over with them. But Jesus' answer is plain. "Ego I me, I am he." This is the same as he would use earlier in the book of John. "I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Ego I me." The deity statements, the I am statements. And here, "I am he." But then now, when he said, "I am he," verse 6, notice their reaction. They drew back and fell to the ground. Some would try to say that must have been a miraculous event that took place, some manifestation of his deity, but the scripture does not reveal that. May have even been by the fact that he is not what they were expecting. Then he asked them again, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And again, Jesus said, I have told you that I am he. A third time we see ego I me. Therefore, you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Now, this points us back to chapter 17 in his prayer. Chapter 17 and verse 12, remember, as he prayed, he said that he had lost none except for the son of perdition, and so that it might be fulfilled. But then we see another who is on the scene. Not only just do we see Judas and the mob, but notice who else is there, verses 10 and 11. Then Simon, having a sword, he drew it, and he struck the high priest's servant's ear. And he cut off the right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? A little bit different than what we have recorded, where he who lives by the sword would die by it. But this was what was prophesied. This was what was needed to be done. And that is that he was going to be crucified. He was not going to die in a battle with a band of soldiers, but put it away. And so he does. John records for us that this servant's name is Malchus. He's the only one who actually records this for us. And it may be from the indication as well that, remember, he was known, John was known by the high priest. We'll see that just a little bit later in verse number 18 or so, that he was known to him. It was Luke who would record for us in Luke 22 and verse 51 that his ear would be healed. But here he tells us the events that happened. Malchus was the man's name, and he's told to put it away. So there is the garden. But then we move along, and we're going to see in the court. In the court. Now, this will carry us till verse number 28. So through verse 27, we're going to see more of a court scene. Then the detachment of troops, verse number 12, then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Chief captain or captain, a tribune, a leader of about 1,000 men, he binds him. Jesus does not, they don't take him, but Jesus surrenders to them. He walks up to them and surrenders to him, and he goes. But they bind him up, and they lead him away. And now it's interesting of where they're going to take him, and they led him first away to Annas first. For he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it was expedient that one should die for the people. Now, let's just pause there for a moment and notice some of these individuals as we see here in verses 13 and 14. Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, and Annas was the high priest or the previous high priest. He was in about AD 6 to AD 14, and now Caiaphas is the high priest. So, you know, Annas was first and then Caiaphas, but they're leading him to Annas, the old high priest. Caiaphas, it tells us, is the one who had first suggested this. If we go back to chapter 11, 48 to 50, this idea that one should die for all, and really didn't even understand what he was truly saying, that there would be this Lamb of God who would die for all, and for not just them, but for the whole world, 1 John chapter 2. But here we have them. Now it was that Caiaphas had advised this, verse 15, but Simon Peter followed. And he followed Jesus, and so did the other disciple. Now, that disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. Now, we have Peter and, understandably, John, the other. And John, known by the high priest, was allowed to go in. And he entered in with Jesus further, but Peter stands on the outside. And then the other disciple, verse number 16, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. So now Peter is there, and he's within the courtyard. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And he said, I am not. Here's that first denial. Remember, Jesus had told Peter that he would deny him those times. And so here we see that beginning in Peter's first denial. Some would indicate that Peter, in this denial, maybe even in the idea not of a cowardice, but the idea that maybe even being upset, he was expecting the fight. He was ready to die for Christ just a little bit earlier, and now he's denying him. But now the servants and the officers who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them, and he warmed himself. And then the high priest asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. He asks them, he's interviewing, they're wanting to know, what is it and what are your teachings? Well, Jesus had taught plainly many things. He had taught them in front of others, and he's asking now, here's some questions about his doctrine and who follows you. But notice what happens. Jesus answered and said, I spoke openly to the world, and also taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews also met me, and in secret, I have said nothing. So why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Now, understand where we are still. We're still standing in front of Annas. This is where they have brought him. They brought him to Annas. Well, Annas is the former high priest. The former high priest, which is so odd because according to the law, the high priest in the priesthood was to pass after the individual died. It was for life. It wasn't something that could be bought and appointed. It was when one died, the other would come along. But here we have now two high priests, or at least a former high priest, but now he's still referred to. You see the power that he exercised, because he says, why do you answer the high priest like this? Now, Simon Peter, we go back outside. Now, Simon Peter, verse number 25, stood and warmed himself. Therefore, they said to him, you're not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And he denied it, and he said, I am not. And then one of the servants of the high priest, a relative to whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again. Immediately, the rooster crowed. We see these events transpiring, the fact that Jesus had said they would, that he would deny him. And here, after this, you know, Matthew records for us that when Peter makes this final denying, that he's denying it with an oath, even cursing and swearing. And Luke tells us over in Luke 22, verses 61 and 62, that when he made that last denial, the Lord turned and he looked upon him, and he went out and he wept bitterly. But he has made this now third denial, and the rooster would crow. Peter would go out and he would wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. But then it says, and then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorian which was early in the morning. And so, we need to back up for just a moment. I missed this one. He says, why do you answer the high priest like this? And this way we got to get him in front of Caiaphas. He's answered Annas that way. But verse 23, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? And then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So that's where we see this indication that they're still referring to the former high priest with this authority as well and the place of high priest. So why do you answer him that way? But now let's drop back down here. After this denial, they're going to take him from Caiaphas to the Praetorian, which is the governor's house, and they're going to do it. It was early in the morning. We could look at the legality of this trial to begin with. The whole thing was something of a farce. It was against Jewish law for them to do the things that they were doing, and here they're now carrying him over to the Romans because they wanted him to be executed. They had the right, according to their laws, to condemn him to death, but they couldn't actually do the execution. And so now they have to go to Pilate. And verses 29 through the end of the chapter, we're going to see him now before Pilate. We see him in the garden, we see him in the courts, now we're going to see him before Pilate. And they did this because they didn't want to defile themselves, that they could eat the Passover. But they were already defiled. But Pilate then went out to them. They wouldn't come in. Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, "If we were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." So they didn't have a charge or an accusation that would actually hold anything. So basically they said, "Well, we wouldn't have brought him if he wasn't an evildoer." They didn't give an answer. And so he says, then Pilate said to them, "Well, you take him then and judge him according to your law, according to the law of Moses." And therefore the Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." And here's where that indication is. They have already decided that whatever he's done, it was going to be that he was going to die for it. And so it's not lawful for us to put the person to death. So therefore, that's why we brought him to you. And that is that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he would die. That is the Roman punishment, the Roman death that they had made so successful, the crucifixion. He would be lifted up. And if he said, if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. And so he was signifying the death that he would die. And so then Pilate entered the Praetorian again. Now, Pilate, according to Josephus, he was not a very patient individual. He was an individual who would not deal long with these folks. And so here he decides, you know, y'all are going to make a decision. He walks back in, he enters in, and he called Jesus. And he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" The question, are you the king of the Jews? All four Gospels have Pilate asking this question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." And so here's the indication of why the fight didn't take place in the garden. It wasn't that we are in this physical battle, but we, Ephesians chapter 6, are clothed as Christians with the armor of God. We put on the complete armor of God, and we are doing warfare, battle, on a spiritual level. We're fighting for the souls of men. And he says, this is not what my followers are doing. We're not going to war against you. We're not trying to overthrow and to be a king sitting on a throne here in Jerusalem, as they're going to indicate that he has said, and this is going to be the accusation over and again that he was going to be this. But he said, my kingdom is not from here. Well, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He says, you've spoken truly. He is. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is the one. He is the one who has all authority, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. He is the one who has preeminence, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And so he is the king. And Jesus tells Pilate here, you have rightly spoken about me being king. But then he says, now everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. But now Pilate asked this question, and some would say it was sarcastic, and others say maybe sincere, but it's a good question. What is truth? What is truth? Well, in the prayer that we saw in the previous chapter, the Word of God is truth. And every Word of God is true. And Jesus is the Word. What is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and he said to them, I find no fault at all in him. So, was it a sincere questioning of, you know, what it, truth is just what men make it to be? Or was he really wondering? Because he's found no reason to put this man to death. He's found no fault at all in Jesus. Now, John doesn't record all of the events of that day. You know, when we take the Gospels, when we take the Bible on any given subject, it's like transparencies. Anyway, we have a little bit here and a little bit there, and so when we lay them on top of one another, then we get the full and complete picture. Well, we have to do that as well for this events of the trials that transpired, because Luke gives us, and John doesn't, the initial accusations that are presented to Pilate there in Luke 23 and verse 2. The repeated accusations by the priest, Matthew gives us in 27 and 12, and Mark gives us in Mark 15 and verse 3. He doesn't, John doesn't tell us about the hearing before Herod, because remember, he goes to Herod as well, Luke 23, verses 4 through 12. And the priest's agitation for Barabbas. Matthew gives it in Matthew 27 and 20, and Mark does in Mark 15 and verse 11. But John, he doesn't give us that information here. He just tells us that now he goes out and he says, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom. And what is the custom? That I should release someone to you at the Passover. And so this is what they're going to do. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And then they all cried again and said, not this man, but Barabbas. And now it ends. Now Barabbas was a robber. And we just have a little, you know, the part of this. We'll have to see the conclusion as well, as it carries this interview on a little bit further into chapter 19. But chapter 18, a very familiar text, a text that covers just a brief period of time. We have Jesus in the garden as he is arrested, betrayed by Judas, brought by a great mob of individuals. We look at this cohort, this band, it almost gives us the great picture of the 500 to 600 men who are coming out against 12. Remember, I have Jesus and the 11. He's coming out against those 12 individuals the one in particular that they were after, one man, Jesus. They take him in. He goes before a corrupt judicial system of the Jews because we have Annas, the former high priest, and Caiaphas, the current high priest. This is what we see. The Jewish religion had already become so corrupt by the time of Jesus. And that's why we see oftentimes even referred to as the Jews' religion. God's religion was something that was good and pure, but they had corrupted. Now we carry him over before Pilate. Pilate has now found no fault in him, and they are crying out to give us Barabbas instead, and they're going to want Jesus to be crucified. Well, that's chapter 18 this morning, and glad that you've taken the time to be with us this morning. We're going to cut the show short. We've got some previous engagements that need to be taken care of, and we're glad that you have been here with us. But don't forget that at 10 a.m., you'll have Morning Point with Denver Horton, followed by The Good News Today with Jim Dearman, and then Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow as Ryan and Chip deal with John chapter 19, and they will continue this story. Till next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.
Thank you. are in heaven.